So we're talking about the Holy Spirit. We're going to pray, but let me just tell you, it's lived up to its hype. So many of us have had conversations over the last week. And so if you feel like I kind of came strong against you, you're welcome, and I'm sorry all at the same time, okay? Understand something here, that I'm trying to do what the Lord has asked me to do, to be a spiritual leader and to be a man like I'm supposed to be, probably for the first time in my life, okay? That's what this year is about for you. And if I can't do this and walk this, how in the world can I impose this on any of you? And the more gray hairs I get in my beard, you know, the more legit I seem to you, right? Less of a kid, more of a peer. So thank you for your grace, your patience. Today, we're gonna continue on. I appreciate what Corey did last week with giving a testimony. Now, I don't want to leave it at that. That's important. Your job is to tell the world why you have faith, why you have hope, who Jesus is to you. Corey did that. Praise God for that. Now let me come behind that and show you a little bit from the scripture about that today, okay? And hopefully sort of cast what the Lord is showing me. But let's pray before we get into that. Jesus, I praise you. I love you. The whole reason we're here is because of you. And we lose sight of it so much, Lord. And I want you to be glorified. I also want everyone here to be lifted up and to see you, to hear you, to be in your presence. And Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. You are like so big, we're all trying to grab our arms around you, but we can't reach the end. And so we just reach out and we hold on and we drink from you, the one Spirit that you'd give us the power to do things as miraculous as pray and see people healed. But something that seems to be not as miraculous, but probably is more miraculous, is to love somebody else. And Lord Jesus, you, Father God, you, Holy Spirit, you love me, warts and all. So I pray that you would give me your words today, that you would fill me afresh, that I would speak from you and not from my flesh. I pray that you'd give everyone ears to hear and eyes to see, because they're on a journey with you. They would have their own relationship and experience with you. And that would fuel a desire to know you more and to walk with you. We give this day to you, Jesus. In your name I pray. Amen. Okay, you might be wondering, Will, what in the world are you doing with all this camping stuff? Are you just kind of sad because the whole no fire thing and you can't get out into the woods? Well, sure, right? We wanted to have camp in the church in the woods. Now we got the woods and the church instead. But that's not what this is about. What you might have noticed, if you're just joining us, we're usually going through a book of the Bible. But praying about it, the Lord has asked me to park on the topic of the Holy Spirit. And we've learned some things. We've learned, first of all, that there tends to be no argument that the Holy Spirit is a real thing. Okay, thing's not the right word, but real thing. Let me put it in Prescott Valley English. Like, you can't deny it. It's in the Bible. Fair? And over time, where us Christians disagree is on how we interpret what the Bible says about something. And so what's happened is a division of two camps over the thing that gives life. So I'm painting a picture for you. Let me just invite you into this. So what we've seen over this week is the Holy Spirit is a person, and not human, but a person, has a personality. It's supposed to be for you to relate. As a matter of fact, on the wall here, for people on the screen, you can't see this. Here are some Bible verses that I'm sharing with you that talk about what the Holy Spirit does. So check them out, because it might not be all the miraculous fire-breathing stuff you think it is. Sometimes it is, and we need that, right? And sometimes it is so subtle, and it seems like something you can do on your own. However, good luck doing it on your own again and again and again. And so what we've had here, and what I've found, is based on where I've come from to where I'm growing in Christ and in the Spirit, is there's an invitation to two camps, is the language we've used. And so I've used this camp over here, and what it is, it's a cot with a sleeping bag, a fire, and a chair, and it's very open. And so someone camping like this would say, this is the way to be open. Be exposed. Be unfearful. Just experience it all. Drink it in. And so I would use this camp to represent, I don't want to put names on it, but anyone who's telling you, yeah, you know, full gospel, signs and wonders, all this kind of stuff. Okay? Now, then at the same time, there's another camp over here, which is like, be careful. Careful, right? No, like we're not even going to go there. When we baptize you, we mumble in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, right? We're careful because if we say that, what you're going to think in your mind is some sort of extreme dramatic example. And so there's this kind of fear. And what we've learned so far is each camp has done things to grieve the Holy Spirit, if you will. And really the Holy Spirit, such as a tree, you guys understand the science of the tree, it absorbs the carbon dioxide that you breathe out, right? And creates oxygen. It's a life-giving source. We have a life-giving source, the Holy Spirit. And Jesus is, in fact, it's so awesome, I got to keep reminding you that Jesus said, I know you guys wish in 2020 that I did a tour around the U.S. and you could all come, like, grab my robe, and I could do TED Talks, it'd be awesome, and you could all walk with me. That'd be better, right? No, what Jesus said is, that's not better. Better is that I go to the authority of the Father at his right hand, authority over all things in heaven and earth, in control, right? But not controlling, always. In control, in power, and I'm going to send you. If I go there, and once I get there, the Father will send you a helper, and he'll be in you and with you all the time. That's better. And the reality of what I observe is it's not better in the way that we live it out. So something's wrong. Something is wrong. Okay, so Lord, teach us about what is wrong. Let's see if this will work today. Okay. So the Holy Spirit, we're talking about that. First thing, that here's some things that I told you last week with Corey. I want to give you some biblical evidence for this, okay? From the way that I believe, guys, you understand, the Bible is true and right. And so any revelation above and beyond the Bible should not contradict what the Bible says, because there's truth in that. However, don't get all Bible deist on me, okay? Because the Bible itself says this. We didn't put everything in here. If we were to put the stories of everything that Jesus said and everything that he did and all the miracles that happened, there'd be no book in the world that could contain all of it. So if that's your God, the Bible, it's a crappy God, and it's not full, right? The Bible says it's not full, okay? So, but let's start there, and then we'll know what's true, okay? First question, is speaking in tongues, I'm getting this question a lot, is speaking in tongues the evidence of having the Holy Spirit? Okay. Now, I know everyone in this camp is like, yeah, right, Will, I'm glad you're finally going to tell all these stuffy people that this is the fact, okay? And then these guys over here is like, preach it, Will. This guy's acting all crazy, keep trying to tell me I gotta be baptized in the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues, right? And this is what the argument that's happening. And I don't mean to demean either group, but let's go to what the Bible says. So is this the evidence? Is it evidence? Probably sometimes. Are they faking it? Yeah, probably sometimes. You guys have told me, the people with this gift, they've said, yeah, some of them, I faked it at first because someone told me, just speak it and then you'll meet me. And eventually he did. But for a while, I was just making sounds up. Not all of you, but some of you have told me this. And so people in this camp have joined me on the cot and told me, you know, Will, this is happening. This is what I'm being told. And even Corey said last week, it was a matter of pride for him. It's like, if you don't have this, you're like a lesser Christian or maybe not even saved. And over my time as a pastor, I've had a lot of people really in tears come to me and share with me that they didn't have this gift of tongues. And the group that they came from told them that this was necessary. Okay. So what I'm meaning is, if I have the Holy Spirit, then I must speak in tongues. So the question about that. I present to you, based on what I know and what I've studied and what I believe the Holy Spirit is showing me, that this is an incorrect view for many reasons. me give you a couple of them. First of all, Paul did say not everyone would give every gift. Okay? And you can look in 1 Corinthians 12, and we will. And then different gifts are given by the same Spirit. This is important because understand the church at Corinth was a very pagan group. And so it would have been easy if believers came in having different gifts. This guy had tongues. This lady had prophecy. This guy had some supernatural discernment. This guy had a preaching ability. And pretty soon they would create gods for that purpose. This is the speaking in tongues God. This is the prophecy God. This is the wisdom God. This is the knowledge God. This is the healing God. That's what they would have done, right? So one God, one Spirit, different gifts. Okay. The Spirit gives each gift to whoever he sees appropriate. It's not for your pride, it's for his glory. And he gives it to you whenever he sees it appropriate. And he gives it to you in whatever measure he thinks is appropriate. Now let's get back to this fact, guys. We are to be the body of Christ, and if each part of the body was the same part and had the same function or gift, the body would be missing important parts and functions, okay? I don't want you to turn off your brain because I assure you there's a good percentage of people in here who don't like me saying this because it goes in the face of what you've been taught. And there's a good portion of you people who aren't hearing me and you think I'm coming against everyone with the gift of tongues. That's not what I'm saying. I want to give you the appropriate, as I see, based on what Paul wrote in the scriptures, view of what this gift is. And since we talked about it, I want to give you the scripture behind it, and it's going to help us move forward. Okay. Another problem with this view. Not every time you go through Acts, the book of Acts, that someone was filled with the Holy Spirit, did it include them speaking or praying in tongues. Okay. In review, we saw from the Bible that there seemed to be two different types of various tongues mentioned here. One was a language that other people could understand, like at Pentecost. These people are like, what are these men speaking in my language for? How do they know this? This is amazing, right? They were speaking languages that other people understood. And then you have tongues of angels, right? More of a prayer language. God, what are you praying? Like, Lord, what in the heavenly realm, what's your will? What are you praying? Invite me into that. Give me that wisdom. And then there's a manifestation of I'm agreeing with the Spirit, right, in prayer. Okay. There's two types. Well, without reading it, Acts 4, a couple places in Acts 4, some other spots, what will happen is sometimes someone would receive the Holy Spirit, they'd be filled, and they would start proclaiming God. Now, if you were in this camp, they probably told you, well, it didn't say that, but it was implied. Anyone heard that? It didn't say that there was tongues, but it's implied that it was. Maybe, but that's not black and white. So I feel confident just to say to you, yeah, if you look at the biblical evidence, oftentimes they did receive that gift. So if you're over here, no tongues, then check yourself, right? If you're over here, always tongues, check yourself. This is what I need to tell you. Also, if it were so, how would you explain the other gifts of the Spirit demonstrated by those who do not have the gift of tongues? A practical example. Guys, I'm just going to be honest with you. I don't have the gift of tongues. People tried to pray it over me. I've asked God for it. I've even been alone in the woods asking God for it. It didn't come. And I know some of you have a similar story. But I've had time and time again, people have come to me and said, Will, what an anointed preaching. Like the Spirit of God was on you. You were speaking his words. Man, you almost got it if you could just speak in tongues and have the Holy Spirit. Right? And I don't mean that to hit them, but that is the truth. So you're telling me that I have the Holy Spirit, but not really because I don't have tongues? Okay. Don't divorce your mind. Okay? Don't divorce your mind. That's what these people over here, listen to them a little bit because they got the mind thing, but they just got to ease up, right? Don't divorce your mind in that. Not that you can understand God, but that cannot be true because if I have the Spirit, I have the Spirit. I might not have all the gifts. Thank God. Because if I had the tongues, I guarantee you I'd be over here with these guys singing hallelujah in tons of tongues, right? And I'd be up here and I'd say, well, God said blah, 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 and then I would start talking to you, and what good would that have done to you? You had no idea what I said in the tongues. Okay? Also, not all who have received the Holy Spirit will receive the gifts of various tongues. In fact, according to Paul, it's a lesser gift. If you look at the list, it's always at the end. Why is that? Help me out. Somebody. It's a one-on-one. What would you say here? Not everyone can understand it? Yeah. Without interpretation, it's for you. The one who had the gift. It doesn't edify the body. Right? Okay. So, I wanted to show you guys, if in case you're online and you can't see it, here's a better picture if you can't see it. Here's this. Right? Here's what we have. The problem is, on the one thing that was supposed to bring us together and to bring us life, it's become the thing that's divided us into two camps. And I don't want to be divisive in this. That's not why I'm talking about these camps. But they're somewhere we're going. And so, next question that we need to ask. I presented to you last week that I believe the gifts are still in use today. But let me present the question to you. Are spiritual gifts still available today?
Yes.
Okay, the verse, now here's the cool thing, guys. Big Bible fans, which I'm a big Bible fan, right? Both sides use the same verse to argue their point. Don't you love it? Well, look at that tree. It is life, but this side of it totally validates why I feel the way I feel. And this person's like, yeah, that same tree is full of life, and it totally validates why I feel. Here's what it says, 1 Corinthians 13. We're going to go 13 and 12, so if you got your Bibles, take a look in there. 1 Corinthians 13, 8 says this, love never ends. Okay, so there's no end to love. We got that? Okay, put that in your pocket. There you go. You need that later. As for prophecies, they will pass away. True. Because guys are like, yeah, right? I told you. Yeah, they're going to pass away. Ease up. Okay? Now, as for tongues, they will cease. These guys are like, hallelujah, right? They will cease. As for knowledge, they're not happy about that. It will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But verse 10, this tells us when. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. I know, right? They're both, we're in agreement. This is the one, this is what we're focused on. Okay? Then verse 11, when I was a child, we forget about this part. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I've been known fully. Okay, fact. Prophecy, tongues, and wisdom knowledge, depending on your translation, they will cease. They will cease. Another fact, while they're available to you, the best they do is they give you a part or a piece, right? A good prophetic word. Oh man, I just feel like, Lord, I was praying for you to put this on my heart. It's a peace. Oh, I was praying for you, and it's like the Spirit took over, and I was praying in tongues, and then I asked God to, even if you did that right and correct, the best it would be a peace. I teach on any given Sunday, I can't give you the full breadth, width, and height of God's goodness in the Scripture. The best I can give you is a peace for today. We know in part, and we speak in part. Now, faith and trust, they fill the gap that exists from what we know in piece or part and the complete and the true, which is yet to be revealed. So when will these gifts cease? When the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. Well, thanks, Will, for making that really clear. Yeah, you're welcome. Let me give you one view. I'll probably say this wrong, but Cessationism, okay, that's the word, or sensationals, would say this, that the miracle gifts of tongues and healings have ceased. There's a view that says this, that at the end of the apostolic age, which, by the way, is not in the Bible, right? That's a word that we made talking about the Bible afterwards. It's not in the Scripture. Just like the word Trinity is not in. Just like there's no sinner's prayer, like in First Hesitations, there's not like a list of these magic things that we made up with. Okay, there's not like, yeah, we should, there's probably a book out there, right? First Hesitations, and it has these things. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, right? No, it's not. This is our attempt to understand and follow God. We came up with these things. Okay. So that at the end of the apostolic age, it brought out a cessation of miracles associated with that age. What that age is, it's the first century. The last of the disciples to live was John, the one that wrote Revelation. Not so sure how he met his end. Everyone else, there's record of, they believe this is how they died. Don't have that for John. He's exiled to an island. He writes Revelation. But after his death, they say no more apostles, and so no more miracles. What these beliefs include is this. While God can still and does perform miracles today, the Holy Spirit no longer uses us. That's their view, to perform the miracles. These gifts were given to authenticate apostleship and are no longer needed following the death of the final apostle, John. I won't defend any of those. Then this, that the gifts were needed for further revelation from God only until the completion of the canon or Holy Scriptures. There is no longer a need for revelation above and beyond the revelation above and beyond what's in the Bible. That's the belief, okay? Couple problems with that. What, the first canon, would they say 100? I mean, if you fact check me, I might be wrong, but it's like nearly 150 years after Jesus' birth that the first canon's there. So some people are saying it's then. Some people are saying it's like more like 100 AD, around that time when all the disciples were gone. But they're like, then it's complete. That's the complete. Okay. Now that we've given that view, let me tell you what I've observed to be probably even a more predominant view in the American conservative Christian fellowship. It's what I like to call placing the Holy Spirit in the witness protection program. This is where I came from, okay? You wouldn't sit over here and say, oh no, there's no gifts. I'm sure, it's there. But we just don't talk about it that much because one, I love it this way. It's like God gave this to me, and I'm sorry. I just think it's pretty funny. Okay, you might not, but what we've really done is we've said the poor Holy Spirit, Carrie. The poor Holy Spirit needs me to protect him.
Yeah, right.
Okay, he needs me to protect him. So I don't want people to misuse him and abuse him. So let's go hide him under an assumed name. Right. Right. What happens to the tree inside? Very good point. Right. It doesn't get the sun and everything that it needs. We protect him, and then I'm protecting all of you because Orion might misuse it and hurt you. So let's put him in the witness protection program. It's fear-based. It's fear-based. So much of my life in that environment, so much of my life even still is overcoming this fear. What if? What if they do this? What if I do this? What if I do this? I assure you guys, if anything, I can tell you in the last 7 years, the Holy Spirit has blown my mind, and not always in a good way. Like, not good, it's good, but it's not positive. Like, I've seen people come up against God in ways, and I've seen him do some crazy stuff to them that was not nice, that your mommy would have slapped your hand if you would have done, okay? He doesn't need me to protect him. All I've done is I haven't protected him, I haven't protected you. All I've done is eliminate him from using you, and the Holy Spirit is a gentleman, okay? For lack of a better word, he could make you do what he wants you to do. God could make you do what he wants you to do. He just doesn't most of the time. Using the Holy Spirit, it's not about magic prayers, it's all about surrender. And what do you do to get to the place to where you surrender so he can, right? So he can take over. But this prevents you from ever, because you don't think about him, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, because he's a witness. I think he's in Oklahoma or something. I don't know where he is. I don't use him. I don't talk to him. You know, it's all about me trying to keep control Or God miraculously, God, what do you want me to do about this job? If they give it to me, it means yes, and if they don't, it means no. Okay. You laugh because this is how we live without the Spirit. And he can do that. He's God. I'm not telling him he can't do that. I want you to live more richly than that. Flat out, I want you to live more richly than that. I want you to not even apply for the job if he doesn't want you to get it. And then if he leads you, maybe he has something to teach you in the interview process. And then if you don't get it, praise God, he didn't want you to have it. But this is a richer life in Christ. In the church that I'm going to be pastor of, even if it's three of us meeting at a park, this is what we're going to do. Okay? So I'm tired of living my life out of relationship with the Holy Spirit. Forget that garbage. When I come to your hospital room, I'm not always going to pray that you get healed. I'm going to say, Jesus, what do you want me to pray? And whatever I feel, I'm going to go with it. And if I'm wrong, he still loves me. Okay? I don't believe the gifts have ceased. If the gifts had ceased, did perfect come? And if so, when did it come? When did I miss it? It says perfect would come and I'd see him face to face. I haven't seen Jesus face to face. Perfect hasn't come. Everything around us is far from perfect. In order for us to survive, Jesus is giving us the Holy Spirit. Guys, and so many of us in this camp are in our tents and we miss what the Holy Spirit is doing every day. And so many people over here, frankly, after talking to so many of you, they don't even like it either. They wish there was some truth-based stuff. They just want to make a camp together, but they don't have a place to go. And so they're either over here in their own witness protection program, or they're over here, I'm just going to go with it because it's the closest, at least there's power here. So did the perfect come when the last apostle died? First century. Or was it when the scriptures were completed a little after that? Was it when Billy Graham was born? I don't know when it was, right? Like I'm not sure it was. When was it? Also, let me drop a logic bomb on you. When I read this, I'm like, this is sweet. I saw it for the first time. Also, in that list, do you remember the three things? Tongues, prophecy, and wisdom or knowledge. They're all going to go away. So did wisdom and knowledge also go away with tongues and prophecy? It seems like a package deal. And over here, we all want all wisdom and knowledge. Like, and not just study, but supernatural. That's what we're talking about, right? Like, you can speak a language by studying it. That's not what we're talking about. But all of a sudden, you speak German when you didn't before. That's supernatural, right? Like, you can get really buff and lift a light car, but we're talking about when you needed to save somebody's life and the Holy Spirit empowered you and some old lady lifted a Volkswagen bug off somebody. That's supernatural. When the 20-year-old says something to you that blows your mind, you're like, no way you lived enough life to learn that? That's a supernatural knowledge or a supernatural amount of wisdom. Did those die too? Did that go away? No. No. And then what do you do with this? Acts 2, right? We're at the Pentecost, remember, tongues of fire, da, da, da. And then go on to say this, Acts 2, 16 through 18. But this is what was spoken of through the prophet Joel. So it's in the Old Testament, and now they're saying what was said in the Old Testament prophesied is now coming true. And it shall be in the last days, God says, that I will pour forth my spirit on all mankind. And your sons and daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions. And your old men shall dream dreams. And even my bondservants, both men and women, in those days I will pour forth my spirit and they shall prophesy. So now we need a whole other doctrine from First Hesitations that says there's like a last days, okay? The last days, which is like 2000, that is no more of this stuff. But the last days, you'll do this. No, the last days are we're in. Until perfect comes and Jesus returns and you see him face to face. I suggest to you that the gifts have not ceased. They will cease. Once Jesus returns and makes all things new, complete, and perfect, and you see him face to face, because we'll be with him and we don't need it. I got a word for you. No, Jesus already told me the whole thing. I don't need the word from you. I asked him and he told me. Well, okay, the tongue. No, I don't need your tongues. He told me. He actually hugged me. I didn't need to pray in tongues and get some kind of spiritual hug and feel better. Like, he actually hugged me. Right? Knowledge? Whoa, supernatural. No, ask Jesus. I mean, it's going to be awesome. We'll see clearly. We'll hear clearly. Until then, how are we going to survive? The Holy Spirit. Let's take him out of the witness relocation program. Now let me give you some scripture here. Follow with me. 1 Corinthians, we'll see how much of this I want to do. Chapter 12. Remember, this is a letter. This is Paul, who's dealing with a group of believers who have come into faith. Their background is dramatic, Pentecostal, you know, very flesh-driven type of environment, right? They would lend themselves well to a Pentecostal way because they had a lot of pagan worship and like temple prostitutes and feasts and festivals and drinking and having a good time, right? So they weren't like the stuffy Puritans who when they would have been invited into the Christian faith, would have wanted it to be very headstrong. They wanted experience, emotion, because it's their culture, right? This is a port where people come in, stay for a short time, and live it up. So you know their first worship services were very much living it up. So it makes sense to me that they would take these gifts and they would get out of control with it and try to use it for what it's not. Is that fair to say? That's one thing they would do. The other thing they would want to do is assign a different God to every miraculous thing that happened. So Paul's writing him a letter. This is the part of it that we've called chapter 12. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols. However, you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed. There's your first warning, okay? Remember protecting the Holy Spirit thing? If you think you got to do that, okay, ask him to lead you. And here's one way, not the only way, one way you know. If it's from God, he's not going to curse the things of God. Make sense? Okay. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Well, what all does that mean? I mean, we have to unpack that over time that I'm not going to take right now. But if we're bringing to glory to God, and you found that, right? The disciples, and they're talking to Jesus, like, Jesus, some people were like talking in your name and doing stuff. And Jesus said, if they're like with us, then why are you going to go and like try to correct them? Right? Like they're saying I'm Lord. Like they're saying the Father God is true and the one true God. Don't go put out their fire right now. We'll get around to that. And in the end, right, there's also the warning in Luke where it's like, you call me Lord, Lord, but you don't know me. Like, well, Lord, we were prophesying and doing miracles in your name, right? And he's like, depart from me because I never knew you. Now that can be confusing, and I think false prophets teaching is for another day. But just know that the things of God are going to glorify God and what God's about. Certain things are really clear. Like, God's not going to tell you to do something that he spoke about in the scriptures. Well, God says, okay, that I had an affair. No, he doesn't say that. He just doesn't. God was like, wanted me to murder them. It's okay that I stole because I said in Jesus' name. No, not okay. Okay, these things the Bible speaks clearly against. You can't say the Spirit made me do it and blame that. Okay, make sense? Verse 4, now there are a variety of gifts. Once again, variety of gifts. You're not all going to have exactly the same mix, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord you're serving. Varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. The whole reason you get the manifestation of the Spirit is for the common good. Fascinating that the Spirit seems to be the thing that's dividing us more than anything else. Well, why is that, Will? Well, we have an enemy. You're like, hallelujah, over here. Your guys are like, well, be careful. You're going to start blaming everything on Satan made me do it. No, what I'm talking about is this. You got weaknesses. You got flesh. Until you die and you get rid of this body, there is a potential for you to make a wrong decision. And you can get into theological argument and debate, but it won't matter. At the end of the day, Casey, you and I have choices to make today. And you're going to want certain things. You're going to get hungry. You're going to get lonely. You're going to get cold. You're going to get insecure. And you're going to try to do things to overcompensate that. And if you're not in the Spirit, you're going to do the things not of God to do that. And that is 3-letter word, sin. So what's going to happen here is we have to understand that you and I have this propensity to sin, and Satan's greatest tool is just to get us to do the things that we have an impulse to do. Oh, Satan made me punch that guy. No, you wanted to punch that guy, and Satan encouraged you. Maybe he planted the idea, maybe he didn't. And what's weird enough is sometimes in the Bible, God did things that seemed to be bad towards people to try to get them to do things, right? Like Lot, it wasn't all Satan that did those things. If you read it again, God did some of these things. God put an evil spirit on Saul to torment him. So you don't think that this impulse you feel, right? Impulses are suggestions from the external. That's what I've learned to say. If it's spontaneous, it's coming from somewhere. And so evil isn't necessarily doing the evil thing, but doing the selfish thing, the unloving thing, and the thing that God wouldn't want you to do. And so you, each one of you, exist as the temple of the Most High God and the greatest tool that Satan ever has, all in one. Interesting, right? Interesting. But given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good, for to one is given through the Spirit an utterance of wisdom, to another utterance of knowledge, according to the same Spirit. Fascinating, those two are mentioned first, okay? Don't forget that. Another day we'll get back to that. According to the same Spirit, another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by one Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues, right? Tongues at the very end there. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. Prophecy all day, but to God be the glory, not to you. And when you make it about you, then it's you, it's your flesh, it's your sin. And you do hurt us. And that's where I come in. I'm asking that God would give me, where are we going? I don't want to sit over here and just condemn you because you have these gifts. It's not really my job necessarily to make sure in your private life that you're using those 100% accurate. Let me illustrate this with an example. Let's say there was two men born in the year 1920 in Prescott. And these men both lived 80 years. And they both died at the age of 80, right here in Prescott. And one of those men, along his path, he knew Jesus as Lord. And he plugged into a group of believers who were conservative in the way that they practiced it. They didn't want to talk about the gifts, but they taught him about faith, about the Lord. Jesus was his Lord, and he was devoted with his mind, his study, and his life. And that man lived 80 years. And what if I told you that when he died, he went to meet the Lord face to face? Okay? Now the other man, he found the Lord too, but when he plugged into a congregation of believers, they were much more focused on the gifts of the tongue. And that actually became, in their group, it was such a focus that sometimes they lost track of truth, right? And they were just so focused, and they become desperate for newer manifestations of the Spirit. But he knew the Lord, and the Lord was with him, and the Holy Spirit filled him. And not every time that he prayed in tongues that it was the Spirit. Sometimes he just got used to the phrase that he said. But he did at times pray, and somebody was healed, and he did see miraculous things. But still at 80 years, he died, and he went to meet his Lord Jesus. Now, what if God said to the man who didn't utilize the Spirit, son, you missed out. That must have been really hard because you missed out on the power of God available to you because you were afraid. I think maybe Jesus could say that. Or if not, you would know it, right? When you're with him, you would know you missed out. But would he say, you were wrong, you're not in? Anyone's theology tell you, you're not wrong, you're not right, 100% you're not in? Not this camp, not this camp. I mean, how heartbreaking it is, and some of you have shared stories of people you love who felt like that, man, to the bitter end. They were just like, so hard on themselves, and they lived without the power of God, but they still felt that God was good, and they followed him. Praise God, hallelujah for this guy. But then this guy, he got up there, and the Lord's like, Billy, Man, you got so focused more on the gift than on me who gave it to you at times. But I know that you loved me. And you weren't 100% right. Does anyone believe that the Lord is going to say, because you weren't 100% right, you're not in? No. Fascinating that we let this divide us. And frustrating. And to be honest, in my flesh this week, I was getting fired up early in the week. I wanted to bring a couple tables up and just turn tables like Jesus would, because that's what I feel like, right? Like at times, because I can tell you in any given week, I get views and everywhere in between doing that. And I appreciate that, but what the Lord is showing me in my spirit is I'm like, man, I have such great compassion because I was here too at one point, and I'm still here, right? Learning just with you. But what I am called to do, flat out, I know that this is what God wants me to do, is to stand in here for truth before you, speak truth, answer those emails, and just love you and say, I don't know my brother, my sister, man. That might have just been you, not the Holy Spirit. And I don't know my brother and sister, but you got to ease up, man. You got to ease up. You are like not letting the Holy Spirit in your life. See, we're one body, verse 12. For as one body, we have many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is in Christ. For in one spirit we are all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, would that make it any less part of the body? And if an ear should say, because I'm not the eye, I do not belong to the body, would that make it any less of the part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If we all spoke in tongues, if everyone was like, I'm a prophet, I got a word for you, and at the same time, like, I got a word for you. No, I got a word for you. I got a word for you. I got a word for you. No one would even hear, right? And that's not to hit on you if God tells you to go tell someone. How can we in this place as a group of believers, and here's my prayer, do this, not neglect the gifts, but not worship them either? How can we worship in spirit and truth? Because if everyone was an eye, what would it be? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? Verse 18, but as it is, God arranged the members of the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. And then it goes on, and I'll just kind of skip this, because since some of the parts of the body might feel less honorable, less important, but they're not. And even our unpresentable parts, right, were often covered up and created with, and treated with greater modesty. Verse 24, But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it. Verse 26, if one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are all the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed to the church first apostles, second prophets, teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various types, kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts. And I will show you a still more excellent way. And here's the disservice to us. You know that we put the chapters and the verses in here, these letters? I think we might have missed the boat on this, because I have to keep going into what we call chapter 13 to show you. 12 ends with this, and I will show you a still more excellent way. If I speak in tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all the mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they'll pass away. As for tongues, they'll cease. As for knowledge, it'll pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. And when I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, and then I shall know fully, even as I've been fully known. I was sharing this with Ben this week, and Ben said this to me. He goes, it kind of sounds like the gift is given to you, but not for you. It's for the common good. And I asked him if I could share that. See, love, I would suggest to you that love is the most powerful gift the Holy Spirit can give you. Don't misread me. I'm not trying to downplay the gifts of the Spirit listed, okay? I'm not sitting over in this tent. We need those. We need those. But love is the most powerful gift given by the Holy Spirit. If it were not so, why would Jesus say, the whole world's going to know you by how you love each other? Lord, what do we do? What's the greatest commandment? You want to do all the commandments? Do this will. Love God with everything that you got. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. By this, you're going to like hit everything you need to do. See, it's love without condition, even when it's unearned, even when you don't feel like it. Loving is more important than being right. You want to know my heart? That's it. Loving is more important than being right. And what God is doing is redefining love for me. Loving isn't always telling you what you want to hear. Oftentimes, loving stings. Loving convicts. So when I was praying this week, I wanted to, first of all, give you the scriptural background for that. I want to go more into the gifts in coming weeks. But I realize what we've done is we've created two camps. And the Lord told me, like, no more camps. No more camps. Hey, Tyler, Johnny, Jay, would you guys come help me real quick? Let's just put this together. Here's how we're going to end today before we pray. I'd love to be a group of believers that doesn't neglect the Holy Spirit. Help me just kind of move this stuff to the center, guys. And so I'm asking for a little help here because we're gonna bring this to the center. And you see, I think this is what Jesus was talking about. Jesus said there is no slave, no free man, no Gentile, no Jew. And we were all given the same Spirit, no matter where we came from. And so I love to be part of a congregation of people who, to be honest with you, some of you, it's okay. Like, if you were to be in a worship service and someone next to you was just, the Spirit just overcame them and they were praying to God and they were singing in a language you didn't understand, they wouldn't, like, do one of these and throw holy water at them, okay? And I would love for that person to feel freedom to pray that way. But I'd also love for someone to be able to say, I feel like, man, based on what you were saying, Lord, like through Will, this is like something I think I need to share with somebody, that they would have that courage to ask God, do you really want me to share this? And if so, when? And they would share that, you know, whether it be knowledge or wisdom or prophecy. Like, that we need that, and that when someone, like, you hurt your back or something, that we come around you and be like, Lord, we love you. We know that, and we're praying for our sister. What do you want us to pray? And that we would lay hands and believe that God could heal your back. Like, if we live this way, then the world would see that God is good. And that's the whole point, right? God gives life, and the Holy Spirit is to help us. Thank you. And what I want to do is be in a group of believers that believe that God is life and he is good. And then naturally it comes out of us. See, because if we get too focused on the gifts, then all we're doing is talking about, like, the gift, like prophecy or tongues. When the truth is, both of those are far down the list. Lower than faith. Like, you want to knock your neighbor on their socks? Like, wait till something bad happens and you have a supernatural amount of faith or peace that no one else has. But instead what they get is either there's like oblivious to these things, or you get like angry and legalistic, you know? Videos of Christians yelling at people at the fast food restaurant, the 16-year-old who's working there because he asked you to put a mask on, you know? We can't do that. I mean, if that's you, I am coming against that. There's no way that God says that's okay. That's just not love. That's not the highest gift. Even if you know what's true, even if you think it's unnecessary, like, don't go there. Don't yell at the 16-year-old. Like, love each other, man. Like, if someone brings something to you and they're doing something with the Holy Spirit, and if you don't just, like, shut them down, but be open that God could speak. And then if you see it's not from him, call it out. I don't think that was for me. Like, what if we could walk this out? That'd be awesome, right? And so what you see here is we come together, we're gathered around that which gives us life, the same Spirit. And so we're asking God to asking God to lead us, and that we'd be led in the Spirit, that we'd walk in the Spirit. And so we're just gonna continue on this journey, asking the Lord to reveal this to us, what this looks like. Thank you for bearing with me as we try to create kind of a biblical case for what I'm presenting to you, that the gifts are still in use and that they become necessary in order to follow Christ. So I just want to pray. I want to pray a prayer of love and unity amongst the believers of Christ. And I know that we can't all be in one church and we can't all have the same gift or the same opinions, but that's what makes us the body. So Jesus, I just come to you right now, an imperfect vessel, but a man who you've lit a fire in about this. And I feel that fire, Lord. I'm okay with the fact that we might not all agree. I'm okay with my brother and sister who want nothing to do with some of these more miraculous gifts, Lord. And I'm okay with the brothers and sisters who've come from a place where it's a normal practice. But Jesus, I just ask that both of them would be led by you and by your Spirit, and that we would come together around the campfire, Lord, not different camps. That we come around the tree of life. We come around one Spirit. And that same Spirit at times would have us study and study and study to know truth. That same Spirit would have us stand up for truth and what's important and what's right. And that same Spirit at other times would have us sort of let go of control and just sing like no one's watching, or pray like we believe you're listening, or share life and truth and love together. But Holy Spirit, I pray that you would be more and more our helper, that we would quit shutting you down, that we would take you out of witness protection. And even though I know we never made it leave your body, I pray that, or made you leave our body, we've turned our deaf ear to your voice. So Lord, forgive us in both camps. Forgive us for dividing what you've put together. Forgive us for being a bad witness to the world who watches us fight with one another. Jesus, we just come before you, the author, the perfecter of our faith. And we pray that you'd fill us with your power so that we would see what's true, that we would love, that we would have joy that made no sense and peace that made no sense. And so Jesus, as Ross and them play some songs here, that we would pray, that we'd just be in your presence, that we would drink from one Spirit. Spirit, come, lead us as we worship. In spirit and truth, in Jesus' name.